This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, Georgie, check for Dadsy. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Leicester City have a penalty kick in the 6 minutes of injury time.
Knockout takes, Almunia saves, knockout follows in, Almunia saves again.
And now Watford are on the counter-attack.
Forestieri.
Oh, I don't believe this.
Here's Hawk, Deeney.
I do not believe what I've just seen. Troy Deeney has scored from a Leicester penalty that was saved by Almunia.
Do not scratch your eyes. Do not scratch your eyes. Do not scratch your eyes.
Hello, you're listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast. I'm Justin.
I'm Carl.
And I'm Peter.
And it's episode number 500, everybody. Oh my God, how did we get here? How did we ever get to 500 episodes in 3.5 years? I think it is 3.5 years, something like that.
By having a priority of output over quality, I think is probably the thing that everybody's thinking. They'd be quite right.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And to celebrate that, we've come together for a bit of a chat. And Nicole, 500 episodes. Can you believe it?
No, I don't feel that old. It's amazing. 500. To be fair, when we started this, if we'd got to 5, I would have been impressed.
That was probably the target, wasn't it? 5.
Yeah. Because I remember sitting down with you and we saying, well, even if 20 people listen to this podcast, we'll take it.
We'll take that. Yeah. And it was I think the first episode was around about the 29th of October 2020, right in the middle of lockdown.
I think it was around that time. Oh, okay.
Yeah, around that time. Nobody could go to matches, and it's very difficult to sound encouraging about games that you hadn't been to, that you'd only seen on
because you've been sounding encouraging ever since we all went back.
Listen, I'd done a poll the other day about the last 4 seasons, and it was, I can't remember the exact phrasing. Let me see if I can find it. But when you read the results, you go, really? Where's the poll? Hang on. So the poll's here. It was, which season recently has been the most enjoyable? Okay. Most enjoyable. Right. So option A, 2021, option B, 21-22, option C, 22-23, and option D this season, 23-24. Okay. So basically, over which of the last 4 seasons was the most enjoyable? Now, what would you say? Have you seen the poll, Carl?
I haven't yet. No. What was the first option there? 20 what?
The first season that we started.
No, that was bad. That one was that really was bad.
You recall, though, that we got promoted that year.
The pandemic season. Everybody's going to vote for the pandemic season. We got promoted. Yeah. The last 3 seasons have been varying degrees of shite. Surely, then.
I can tell you the variances if you want. So,
tell us the variances of the degrees of shite. Excellent.
I shall. 61% of people went for 2020/21 season. So that was the majority for the most enjoyable season recently.
There you go, Greg. Can I just say that shows Greg how important it is for football fans to be sitting on sofas when they're watching their football, clearly.
I wish I had a bell I could ring now.
Hold on. Here we go. Thank you.
Even better. 21-22%. That was a relegation season, was it not?
Yeah, that was grim.
22-23, 1%. Last season, 1%. Yeah. But 26% of people went for this season. So there's an improvement this season on last season, which I think is probably true, although we find ourselves in roughly the same position in the league. Who knows?
But with a much lower cost for the players, the budgets have been reduced. There is no doubt about that. There is no Absolutely no doubt. But also, I think we've got players who, yes, they may be limited, and yes, they didn't end up playing very well for, but we've actually seen a response at the moment. So even though, yes, we are in a round where we finished last year, which was, what was it, 11th? I think it was 11th last year. Anything in mid-seasons tends to end up becoming a blob that I call the Perryman kind of zone. And if we finish 14th or 11th, I'm completely meh. So what? Well, it doesn't really make any particular difference. I'm sure somebody will be able to quote me some prize money that we might win, but in comparison to the Premiership, it's worth absolutely sweet fuck all. So, but this season, there has been more to engage with. A lot of people said, I like this team a lot more than I have done, started to fall away with that under Val. And a lot of, I think, some feeling good about various things has actually picked up since Tom has taken over. I think that's why a lot of people, not all, but a lot of people, quite keen on Tom taking over going forward. I think this season, personally.
Someone said on there, and I can't find it, but it was like, it's deciding which of your turds to polish, I think was one of the responses.
Yeah. Good comment, good response. I'll respond. My applause button is going to wear out. We have far too good listeners. Well done, everybody. Go and listen to something properly now. Somebody who offers you some production value rather than just pressing that a lot.
Right. Okay. So, do you want to do a few questions from Twitter, or do you want to talk about something else? Or I'm happy to go. I'll tell you what we could talk about.
Well, here we go. This is the level of decisiveness that's seen us through to 500. Brilliant. Go on, Justin. You produce away.
I will. It's a section. Okay. So. Yeah. The Big Night Out, which is now confirmed. So the Big Night Out, it's all confirmed, 3rd of August, 2024, at the Pump House in Watford. And, well, that means now we've got to write it. So we do things the hard way. We go and book stuff and then put ourselves under pressure to come up with the goods. That could be fun. So that's probably, what, the last weekend before the season starts, isn't it, usually?
It is.
Usually,
It is. If all goes according to plan... Hopefully people will be coming down to what should be the Graham Taylor game, which should be the last pre-season friendly. It's normally the one that we host. We have done previously with various different European opponents, being Real Sociedad and Real Sociedad again, quite commonly. But that was I think we had Sampdoria one year, if I remember. That was good fun. Let's do that again. Have the Graham Taylor day a week before, and then if people are in Watford, they could stick around and they could come down to the Pump House and enjoy the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes, which will be fun and frenzy for all the family, providing you don't mind copious amounts of swearing with no bleeping buttons.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And if there is a game on that day, the three of us won't be going because we'll be down there getting everything sorted for the evening, I imagine. Now, the reason that Peter's looking at me quizzically. Yes, these things require preparation, Peter. Yeah. Now, the Pump House, this will be a...
We haven't got to 500 podcasts using a preparation.
Yeah. But this is a bit different, isn't it? This is a little bit different. People can see us and, dare I say, smell us.
And boo us. That's what you're saying, yes.
Yeah, so see the whites of your eyes or whatever. So, yeah, so this will be a ticketed event, obviously. And the reason that, one of the reasons we chose the Pump House is they've got a bit of a fundraising thing, haven't they? They need to repair their roof. I think the roof's £750,000 or something. Obviously, we're not going to raise that on the evening, but what we are going to do is we are going to donate all of the proceeds of the ticket sales to their fund. So hopefully that will help them a little bit. And hopefully we can do some bits and pieces in terms of raffles and stuff as well. So that should be good for the fundraising too. So if you are around on the 3rd of August, then do come down. We will be putting details of tickets out as soon as we can. I believe the capacity in there is 124. So seats are limited. It's not the Coliseum or other amphitheatres are available. So, yeah, it's going to be 124 seats. So it will be first come, first served. What are you looking at me like?
Are available. Excellent.
Hey, as opposed to the one in Rome. In fairness, we may die a death. Who knows? Anyway, look, it's going to be fun and games. It'll be stupidity. We'll probably show our asses both physically and metaphorically. The general plan will be to have a lot of fun. Unlike Justin, I've already started preparing stuff because, hey, I'm that nerdy, so that'll be fun. But anyway, we're going to do it.
The technical bits. I'll do all the... Come have a black out there, please. And then the smoke machine comes on here. I'll just leave that bit to me.
You can pretend to be all your theatrical lovey stuff. That's absolutely fine. Carlos and I will just show me
where to stand and yes. I'll just do my...
Across the floor. You stand there, Carl, because there's a light focused on it.
So I just need just an X on the stage.
There's a cross on the floor. Are we crucifying him at the end of this? Welcome to the passion play, everybody, DNSYE style.
Yeah, there has to be a big finish, doesn't there?
I think we have to sing always look on the bright side of life. Nothing says more about this shambles, or indeed the shambles that we constantly follow and sing about in Watford FC. Never mind. Yeah, the reason why we also want to do it at the Pump House is because it is a community theatre. It is a community centre. It is something for the community, which is the thing that we, well, I especially bang on monotonously about. The other guys speak quite fluently, but I just carry on until I'm bludgeoned you all into hearing nothing else. But it's something that needs the support of the community. And if we can get some people down there, who knows, we might be able to do it again. We might be able to make a success of it. But hey, it's us, so it won't be a success, but that's not going to stop us claiming it. So that's an important thing.
No. And I think one thing to say as well is there will be a fair amount of audience participation, I imagine. So be prepared for that. You're buying a ticket knowing that you could be on stage getting involved in things. You're not going to be coming along and just sitting there in the darkness. You will be. It's not going to be like the Mr. Q challenge. And well done, Wendover, by the way, on Saturday. That was quite an effort. I thought it was quite close from where I was sitting. That looked as if it was going to at least go towards the centre spot, but didn't quite make it. But so there will be stuff going on. So yeah, do come down to that. 3rd of August, put the date in your diary, and as soon as tickets are available, we will mention it and put it on our socials, etc., etc. I imagine there might be a discount for patrons, just saying, if you want to get your patron nod, wink, wink. Might be a discount for patrons. Well, we haven't plugged the patron for a while.
Look, we're going to make the tickets very reasonable, so you can come along, but there will also be other stuff. Bring your cash and bring your wallets to see if we can't do a bit more fundraising for a bit more fun and a bit more stupidity to try and make sure that we hand over to the Pump House a little bit of money as a contribution, and also hopefully a few people who haven't necessarily been down there or used it might get to find out what's going on down there. Open mic nights on Tuesday night. Got to be going. That sounds a lot of fun.
There's another way to look at this. You could bring your money with you to pay us to shut up.
I see.
The more you pay.
Is that how it works? We reach a certain target, just walk off. And we've reached the £500.
Good night.
Everybody. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
That'll do.
Not a bad idea at all. Right, let's have a few questions. At Jay Ruse, if you were stuck in a building full of bad guys, like the plot of Die Hard, who would be the player, past or present, in the John McClane role to rescue you? Now, we've spoken about Die Hard on this podcast many times, because particularly at Christmas. Yeah, who are you going for? Go on.
I'm going for Ryan Porteous.
Ryan Porteous.
He's just going to slide tackle everyone, isn't he? Anywhere he can.
You reckon?
He's so hard that he administers bullets manually. He doesn't need a gun.
He punches them in, doesn't he?
Bang. Yeah, just like that.
He punches in bullets.
Well, Ryan Porteous, of course, is also Scottish. Therefore, culturally, he's used to wearing a dirty white vest most of the time. So that'd be a good one.
There we are. I don't know if you've noticed, but that was probably offensive to Scottish people.
We're having a go at the Scots now.
That's fine, generally.
I swear that was my jurisdiction, but anyway.
I'm just thinking Rabsy Nesbitt, and if that's not appropriate to all Scottish people, I'm very surprised. Kevin Jackson, you have to let us know if I've just done another social faux pas. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Sean Dyche, I think. I think I'd want Dyche to the rescue, I think.
I'm going to eat some worms. Eat some worms.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Peter?
I'm tempted to put Wendover in simply because I've just found out that Justin can do an imitation of him, which is excellent. I like that. I would go for mid-80s midfielder, won the FA Cup with Ipswich, was at Arsenal, we signed him, Brian Talbot, commonly known as Rambo. You can't have an action hero in our midst, hard as nails, gets kicked all day. I'm fairly sure if he didn't have any boots on, he could run across an office floor covered in glass, slide, and then kind of machine gun down some, I think they were German terrorists. I've already gone for the Scots. Let's just add in the Germans for good effect.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what Scottish terrorists? They were Scottish.
Well, in fairness, they may have been Scottish-German hybrid. In fairness, they weren't even terrorists, were they? Because they were actually trying to rob the place. We know about this. And of course, Alan Rickman, fine British actor, he was brought in for the main parts. But the rest of them, all Scottish and German. No, what can you say?
Let me steer us out of this alleyway. Cole Campion says, am I the only one who doesn't care how former players do at their new clubs, for example Pedro? Personally, once they've left Watford, I don't give a monkey's what they get up to be honest with you. Doesn't bother me at all. And I think the slight obsession over Pedro this season, every time, because he was one of the leading scorers in Europe, was he, at one point? And why do you always laugh at these things, Peter? Once they've left us, see ya. I'm not really bothered, to be honest. But do you keep a keen eye on former Watford players?
Yes, I do. I like following the former Watford players because we got to see them here. There's been lots of conversation.
Former club.
Trust me, don't think I haven't. There's been lots of conversation about whether or not this season we've lost our way and whether or not we should be judging ourselves by the highs by which we've previously been at. And I get that. But actually, we are a mid-table championship football club traditionally. And actually, bringing through players such as, and I appreciate people won't be happy because he celebrated when he scored against us for Man United, players like Ashley Young and John Barnes and players who've gone on to other things, even, dare I say it, Tim Sherwood, there should be a degree of pride that those guys came through our club. And I appreciate that you don't like it and you say that. But the moment they come back and they're interviewed with us, you go, oh, Thomas Priskin, I really love you. And now you're on my Christmas card list.
Wait a minute.
Go on.
We're talking about their career at Watford, mainly when they come on, right? And we're talking about memories of Watford. Now, we do maybe go on to other clubs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I haven't, since they've left, followed their career intently to the point of I know how many goals they've scored for their new team and all the rest of it. I'm not that bothered. And like you said, so players that come through our academy to Sherwood, like you say, etc. Yeah, that's great. But Pedro, he came from Fluminense, stayed with us for two or three seasons, went to Brighton. And I'm just not that bothered about how he gets on at Brighton this season.
I still think wherever they come from, having players of that particular level and quality and what he could go on for, even when Richarlison had that goal in the World Cup and they were looking like really good for a period with him, I was thinking, yeah, our club's bought him in. I've sat and watched him play in the live. And I don't know, maybe I'm just of a certain age where seeing players play at Watford who are then appearing in World Cups was a novelty. It was a surprise to see players who were connected with Watford. I remember watching Pat Jennings in the 1982 World Cup final. He hadn't played with us since the late 60s. I had not seen him. But I still went, there's a Watford connection. I don't know. Maybe that's just me being an anorak. Do I follow his stats in terms of Pedro or whoever's playing elsewhere? No, not particularly. But I look out for them and I think of them as fond players and players that I think in some way, shape or form, the more good players come through this club and move on and then do well on a global stage, it works well for Watford for the attraction of further players of that ilk. That's me putting some sense onto it, but I'm also just pleased to see players who played at Watford do well.
Carlos?
I would say if they've got a sell-on value, i.e. someone like Pedro, there's a bit of money to be made out of him, I would certainly encourage him as a player to do well. So I'd probably keep an eye on him. I wouldn't follow it to a degree where I'm watching Brighton games week in and week out. Same with Richarlison, really. But other than that, no, not really. Do I keep an eye on Saka because he used to be in the youth side at Watford? Couldn't give a fuck. And I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, when Graham Taylor left and he went to Villa, I didn't follow, and Wolves as well, I didn't follow his thing there because he'd gone. But he's still a legend of the club, the legend, in fact. But yeah, it's not something I think if there's a sell-on value and there's something in it for us, I will. Oh, hi, dog. Just come in. Welcome. Yes, thanks for that. Leave the door open.
I'm going to have to come up with more sound clips for more dogs now. There are more dogs, as people will have seen or will have heard, depending on whether you saw or heard the prediction league.
I haven't put a lock on that door yet. She may be back. I don't know.
Who knows?
Are we okay to continue now?
Yes.
Can we carry on?
We've done dogs and former players. Carry on.
Okay, so Jason Rose says, how on earth do we fire up the 1881 more? Now, before we get onto the 1881, the bunker, let's talk about that for a second. So, yes, that obviously there was some bad news that came through at the tail end of last week to say that the bunker can now, or beers that you buy in the bunker can only be consumed inside the bunker and not outside the bunker, which on a reasonably clement day, that isn't good news because it does get a bit hot and sweaty in the bunker when it gets, you know, as soon as it's a few people in there, you think, oh, it's a bit warm in here. So do we know what's happening with this? Do we know if anything's going to change?
Still very early days in terms of licensing and so forth. I believe an application's been made, but it will probably end up being in an area. So there'll be an area cordoned off for the outside of the bunker rather than it being free-for-all in and around that space. And I don't know the ins and outs because I'm not close enough to it, but unfortunately, it's probably not going to be the same outside again, unless something dramatic happens with the licensing. And I would say the only way that would happen would be the support from the club to be able to do something.
Do you have a message for the dry lunch that went and...
I do have a message, but you should probably get the bleep button ready. No, I just think it's childish. I just think that haven't we been through enough in terms of the last few years. We've got a facility there that is bringing back, in my opinion, we've been very open and honest on this podcast about what the bunker does for people in general as supporters and bringing people together. And really, when we talk about values and the original family club, the bunker for me is everything that we hold dear. And for somebody to go so and deceitful in the way that they've gone and do it, and all they've done is, it hasn't affected the club, it hasn't affected really Roy or anyone like that's in the bunker, but it's affected the fans, because that's a place that means a lot to a lot of people. I've brought people from America there. You've bring people down there. There's people that you meet constantly, and we're not alone with. And I think it's really sad and childish that somebody's gone this low. Unfortunately for that person, it'll come out at some point, and yeah, we'll deal with it then.
It's a bit of a blow, isn't it, Peter? It's more than a blow, really.
Massive blow. Massive blow. Yeah.
It's utterly ridiculous. The person who's done it is... Anyway, so...
500, ladies and gentlemen. That's how you do it.
This is how you do it, yeah.
If, for example, at the moment, as you say, if it's marked out that you can only drink there and you can only drink there, if they manage to do it, and good luck to everybody who is trying to do that, and if you're listening, yep, anybody at the club, go and support this if you haven't already. If you're not already doing it, I'm sure you probably are, but if you aren't, please get behind it, because what you want is supporters. The supporters don't actually have a supporters club, but if it's going to start anywhere, it's going to start down the bunker, because it's being run by supporters, it's being embraced by supporters, and having people who basically get their drinks once every, 2 weeks for 9 months of the year for an hour, roughly. I know people are getting down there a bit earlier because there's a real nice community. So let's say an hour and a half. Every 2 weeks. Who is being disadvantaged for this? Who is being encumbered for this? There isn't any residential property there that is not being able to walk through. Trust me, you can walk through. There's plenty of space to walk down that particular walkway if anybody's at the flats, for example, or there's further flats being built along. But this is what you're telling me, that would be disadvantaging them when 20,000 people are trying to get into a stadium, and you're saying that these people here are creating a problem? And even if they did turn around and say, right, well, you can stand between here and here, what's that going to do? It's going to congest the people who would normally fan out along the way. If you're not aware, if you go to behind the rookery kind of bit and kind of level, if you will, with the Graham Taylor area, go down the steps, and there is a walkway which connects the bottom of the stadium to the new car park, which has been blazoned with for the hospital. There's a big walkway. It's nice and wide. Nobody at the moment is blocking anybody, because what people tend to do is congregate towards the wall that is, 5 meters maybe from the door of the bunker. If you then decide that you're going to bring a smaller amount to it, guess what's going to happen? People will sit in there. It will congest the area, and then it will become an encumbrance for people. Please, if you're thinking about it, and not necessarily just about the licensing of it, but the enforcing of the license of it, be sensible, because there's an obvious thing here that is causing nobody anything in the way of distress. It gives a lot of supporters a lot of joy to be able to turn up. And I had my godson and my best mate there for the Preston game, right? And the Preston game was god awful. Let's be quite frank. They're not going to walk away from that, go fly back to Australia and go, God, you remember that game? But they remember the bunker, because I turned around and said, there's nothing like this. There's nothing like this where we are. Anything that's done is either corporate, or it's like you just go to the local bar. This is something that's so intrinsically for the fans. And Roy and all of the guys down at the 1881 have done this over a number of years. It's a facility that they provide for the fans. Absolutely brilliant. All respect to them. To ask them to have to jump through another hurdle because some complete is deciding that what he's going to do is disadvantage them because he's a box-ticking, rule-officiating twat, is absolutely sorrowful. And if you haven't been down to the bunker, do try and get down to it if you can, because you mentioned there that it's not disadvantaging Roy individually. Well, it is, because if it reduces the amount of beer they can sell, it reduces the income that they can have, and then the possibility of us trying to get back to those kind of TIFOs, those displays, those things that we became known for. We haven't had much by the way of support, and since we'll get now into Jason's question about it, that's what we need to have. If they've got less money to do it, it doesn't help.
Yeah. It just feels like part of the match day's gone. And it's just silly. It's just silly. Whoever's done that, just hang your head in shame.
This is Ronnie Rosenthal speaking, and you are listening to Do Not Scratch Your Eyes.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
But what Jason...
It hasn't gone. They'll fight for it.
I'm thinking like, well, so we get to October next year if it's still under these restrictions and it's pissing down with rain on a fucking Tuesday night.
It'll be dealt with before then.
Okay.
I'm sure it will.
Okay. Right. So what Jason says is, how on earth do we fire up the 1881 more? What's Carl's experience of sitting in and around them? Are there singing leaders, choir masters, if you will? They are so quiet. Now, obviously, I don't know where Jason sits, so I don't know if he's sitting in...
I get what Jason's saying, but I also disagree with it that it's quiet. The 8 is a section that sings, and it's loud. It's loud. If you're in and around it, it's loud. Unfortunately, the rest of the ground isn't, and I include the rookery in that. If you go right from the section that I'm in, it's quite rare that the rookery will go. Songs don't start from anywhere else in the rookery. It's just a section. Taylor, myself, will start things. The drum guy down there, whose name escapes me, but it will come to me, tries his best. They will try their best, but I think it's... Should I say responsibility? A duty, if you want to get the atmosphere going, that everyone get. I'm still of the opinion that the 1881, in terms of that area, the singing section is in the wrong part of the ground because it's tucked away in that corner, which probably doesn't help it because it's so far back. For me, and I've said it before on here, I would move the family stand and get it next to the away fans where you would then, in my opinion, get a decent atmosphere around the ground. But I love sitting where I sit. Well, I don't sit. I stand, to be fair, despite the stewards telling me to sit. But yeah, no, it's really good. It's a really good section. It just needs support from the other half of the rookery and the family stands and everyone else, really.
To be fair, the only song that permeated on Saturday was the Luton Get Battered Everywhere They Go, yeah. That quarter.
Yeah.
But where I was sitting, I don't really
I started that.
Did you? Does you look at the score on your live score or whatever?
Yeah, it comes up, it pings up. And obviously, I'm a big fan of the Luton supporters, so I like to record it and send it to them. So,
yeah.
No, look, the atmosphere is the atmosphere, and unless the rest of the grounds are going to be involved, it's never been the loudest ground anyway, really, if we're honest.
Well, I hate going back to the 97-98 season, but every single one of those players had a song. Every single one of them, right?
Yeah.
And if I said to you, Stevie Palmer, you'd know the song. If I said to you, Jono, you'd know the song. Micah Hyde, you'd know the song. Ronnie Rosenthal, you'd know the song. I just think that there's not enough dynamics on the... I was going to say dynamism, is that a word? I think it probably is. On the pitch for us to... Or enough going on the pitch to get people going. It just isn't. You look at what's going on. 0-0. 0-0. There's just not enough to get people going. If you start going
through... We haven't had a song for a manager in a very long time. We've got Tom Cleverley. There's a couple popping up now. Porteous.
Is it just Cleverley?
No. Tom Cleverley's Yellow and Red Army.
Right. So, yeah, but that's not unique to him, is it? That's just...
No.
So this is what I'm saying. There's no new songs or anything for anybody. Even the songs like, I start, that one, Ear Out of Your Hornet Sing. I haven't heard that for 4 seasons.
No, that gets sung. Yeah, that gets sung.
And it's mainly away games it gets sung, or is it getting sung?
Yeah, probably. There's probably more go... that's why I'm probably a little bit naive to the fact that I don't think that the atmosphere is that good, because I do. But again, I go to more away games, obviously, than you two guys. So I probably hear a few more songs week in and week out. Kiembe's one is good. But for instance, you just mentioned it there. I started the Stevie Palmer one at Southampton and it went down a treat. So it still holds. Yeah, it still holds a place with people. But yeah, I do get what you mean. And I think when we get a bit of consistency, if that ever happens at Watford, because on the pitch, then I think that will start happening. And there's some great, some of the young guys on the away game, they'll come over and go, I've got a new song for X, Y, and Z. I can't remember them. I basically have to record them or write them down or something. But I think sometimes they're a little bit too overcomplicated. Too many words.
I did enjoy Ipswich Town when they came to us at Christmas, which was the snow is falling all around me. Ipswich playing, having fun. It's the season. Back to back promotions. Merry Christmas, Norwich scum. What a song. What a song. Whoever can't with that.
I always like jingle bells on an away game around Christmas. What fun it is to see a Watford win away. Hey.
I think there's a couple of other things to think about. You talk back to 90s and 97, and at that particular point, I think still the away end was the Rookery. What you had the Vicarage Road end at the time was unallocated seating. What that meant was that you had to get into your place if you wanted to sit in your regular place a little bit earlier. If you now look around the ground at 10 to 3 or 5 to 3, it can be pretty sparse because people are having a beer. They're having all of the things that are available in that little 15-minute window. We know that people don't tend to get in much earlier beforehand. What used to happen was people were there in their seats during the warm-up, okay? And every single player had a song because as they were warming up, the crowd would start going through each one and getting a kind of a thank you kind of thing. That doesn't happen anymore because the fans aren't in their seats because, frankly, there are other things that the club are quite happy for them to expend their money on, beer, food, or whatever else on the concourse. So in a way, we've almost got too luxurious a position to be able to have that space to do it.
I take that point, but other teams come up with songs. You listen to the away supporters, you sit in
the away fans are always louder than the home fans because you have, first of all, you have the most vociferous fans because they're prepared to go and travel. They've traveled, they're going to have a good time. They are also packed into a small, tight area, all of them, and they will sing. Look what happened when we went to Wembley. We were away from home, but all of the singers were dispersed because you had loads of basically tourist fans there, and we didn't make a noise. Crystal Palace compacted all of their singers together, and it worked, right? That's the truth. Am I wrong? Carlos, how many times have you gone to an away ground, a ground this season and saying, you're supposed to be at home, your support is fucking shit, all of this. Every single team in the Championship gets it, probably bar somebody like Leeds and occasionally Huddersfield, who are fairly vociferous at home. For some reason, I'm using the word vociferous today, people. So you are always going to see that. That's why, and I agree completely with Carl, if you relocated the singing section to where the family stand is, and basically it's literally a mirror of where it is, of where they currently sit, one in the Rookery, one in the Vicarage Road end. Yes, people would be singing at each other, which is, I know, what Roy originally didn't want to have. He wanted the support to be focused onto the pitch. But what happens when you're in close proximity to each other is the songs spark each other off. Because if you've got the singing section who are there to sing, that's what happens. I sit in where the family stand is. I can tell you now, I'm absolutely with Justin and with Jason. It doesn't permeate out enough from the 1881, and that's nothing to do with them. It's to do with the acoustics of the ground and it not travelling. So what we need to have is something that either replicates that kind of, right, we'll come in and get the songs, because previously you would get them in the warm-up, and then when they came back out to do the warm-up again, and they're just literally just before kickoff, they would start then, and then you were already into a singing mode. People aren't. They are literally getting into their seat, and I'm as guilty as this as absolutely anybody. They've got their drink. They may even have their food, and the team walk out. Whether or not you even stand up and applaud is sometimes a question of whether or not you've finished your food yet. People are doing other things. They're not into that mode. And I think that's a shame. What do we do to get that there? For me, if you watch German or Italian football, there is typically one person at the front of the support who is sitting there with a megaphone in order to get people going, a rabble rouser. I'm not volunteering for that job. I simply don't have the puff for it anymore. That's the only way to visibly get people going and maybe have a couple positioned in other areas of the ground to get everything going in a uniformed way, because that's difficult. I think the family stand are quite happy to try to sing, but you've also then got the fact that sometimes we're singing out of time with you because of the time that the sound takes to travel on occasions. That's happened before. I think there are ways and means, and it means about being, you've got to be creative about it. We've got to have ways of deciding what the songs are and actually getting those out to people, because a lot of people who go to an away game will be there and somebody will start something up. And because they're all packed in, because they're all in close proximity, it will spread during an away game, and then it will come back into a home game, and all of those people aren't all in close proximity to them because they're sitting back where they do in the Vicarage Road end, and sometimes it doesn't quite pick up. Is that a fair comment to make, Carl? You're our away game aficionado.
Yeah, no, it is. It's, I think when you're at an away game and there's less of you, 2,000-3,000 if you're lucky, it's easier to pick up new songs or whatever. And I've been guilty of it. I've gone, they've been singing downstairs in the concourse at whatever ground. What's the words to this then?
Yeah.
Help me out. Yeah. So, and then, yeah, you go from there. But it's a tricky one. I get it. And I'd love the Vic to be louder. But I as I've said, I think that the 1881 are trying their best. They're not in the right position in the ground. They've tried to move it before centrally, and that went rather pear-shaped. But
I just think there is always going to be a I don't want to move my seat element to this. But we have to remember that the Vicarage Road end was the home end up until the 1998-99 season. Yeah. And we only went down to the Rookery in the first season, the first season back in the Premier League under Taylor in 1999-2000.
Yeah.
So it can be done, because the Rookery was the home end back in the 60s, wasn't it? Or the 70s, I think. It flips about. It can be done. You can move the home end to wherever you want it, really. So if you just said to everybody, look, you know, it's much better. The facilities in the Rookery end are far better than the Vicarage Road end.
Yep.
Far better. Probably much better for families as well, really, in terms of...
And you don't have to put up with the smell of burnt toast.
That has dissipated, actually. That's not around.
Is it gone?
Yeah, it has. That's not around. I think they fixed the oven, or they've got rid of the cream tray. They've done something. But I think if people that sit in the family stand saw the facilities in the Rookery end and went, my God, this is far superior. You go, yeah, it's better, isn't it? And you just said, look, sorry, we're really sorry about this, but we have to get the atmosphere going in it's for the benefit of the team, the benefit of the fans. We're just going to move everybody out of there and swap it around. Ta-da. And if you made a case for it, people would go for it. But if you just, you'd have to maybe do a consultation or something. But I just think it's got to be done, because it's, and the other thing is, you don't want the families going out with the away fans either. Really.
No, that's definitely a safety issue. You've also got the fact that and I don't know what the club's position is on safe standing, but you're seeing now increasingly a number of these rail seats being put into place, kind of thing you've been seeing in Germany for years and years. And if they were going to put that in, what are they going to do? They're going to put that in half of the Rookery? They're going to just put that in a couple of rows? Or if they did reverse it, they could just basically fit out all of the area for Watford fans. Who wants to stand? Trust me, a fair few would get down there, stand, and then they would start singing from there, and they would be trading off with opposition supporters on the away side. And anybody who thinks that doesn't make a difference, do take a trip to Huddersfield, because you're butted right up against them, as you are normally. I don't think it was quite so many this year at West Brom. And that makes for a terrific atmosphere, and both lots start to trade off and sing pretty much for most of the match. It could fundamentally make a difference. And I appreciate that there are people sitting in the 1881 area who are just going, I don't want to move, thank you, please piss off, get that completely. I'm just thinking about, they're there because they want to sing and they want to make an effort and they want to make a difference. And
yeah, I don't think there'd be as many as you think that would have an issue with it. I think it's more about trying to get the atmosphere going, and that, yeah, it's difficult. It is difficult at the moment up there, and the football hasn't been the best over the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, because look at the Luton game.
That makes a huge difference. It makes a massive difference, the football being good to chance and stuff. Huge.
You're watching Luton game. Look at the Luton game
all the time.
It can also be done. You go back to that Luton game, and I appreciate we went 1-0 up after 2.5 minutes, and we won 4-0. It's not important. I just like to say it. But the difference between the atmosphere in that ground before that game was so charged, was so electric. Everybody was up for it and everybody's supported. We do have to do something to get, okay, not everybody's going to go, oh, brilliant, we're playing Barnsley or whoever we're playing that particular week. Let's recreate that each time. But if you could get another percentage doing it, it would just help. And then it would get the rest of the ground getting up, because you can hear it. Because at the moment, if you can't hear it, how are you supposed to join in if you are in the Elton John, or if you are in the Graham Taylor?
No, fair point.
Absolutely. Well, there we go. I think we've discussed that to death. So there are a few more questions. Let me just see what else we've got here, because every time my phone closes, it loses the question that we're on and I have to go back to it. So just bear with me. Oh, Greg. Well, this is a quick one. This is a quick one from Greg. Are you fans of Aldi's and Lidl's Middle Aisle? I find them very exciting, he says. Middle Aisle of Lidl? Now, Peter, we've spoken about.
Isn't that where they keep all the cheap, nasty shit that you don't need in your house?
So you're not a, yes, but you're, the fact that you had to ask me, you're not a Lidl or an Aldi's shopper then, I take it?
No.
I think I've only been into Lidl twice. Not out of out-and-out snobbery. It's just not actually particularly well located for me anyway. But what is in the middle aisle? I do remember being there.
There was electrical goods.
Yeah, is that what we're talking about here?
But the joy is you never know. You never know what's going to be in there.
So honestly,
it's shit like that. You walk down and you go, kayaks? Wasn't that tile cutters last week? You never know what's going to be in there. It can be quite good fun. And sometimes you think, well, I don't really need this, but it's like, for example, I bought a thing for the bath that you put across the bath and you can put your iPad on it. So you can sit watching your iPad while you're having a bath, and it's got a place to put a wine glass. So you can sit in the bath.
That's very you, isn't
very
it?
Me. It's very me. If you're going to have an hour in the bath, let's have the iPad on and a glass of wine. You slide it in, and there's a bit for your mobile phone holder as well. And you can sit in the bath, and it's sort of £10, I think it was, made of wood. And I saw that. I went, well, you know what? That wasn't on my shopping list, but I'm going to have that. So you never quite know what's going to be in the middle. I think the middle of Lidl is better than the middle of Aldi's, if I'm going to compare the two. I'm not sure I would find it very exciting, which is how Greg's described it, but yeah, I quite like the middle of these places.
I saw somebody say it says a lot about supermarkets, about how much they think of you by how they lay out supermarkets, because you go through the door and you're immediately offered, basically you can go in and without having to wait or even go into the main thing, you can buy cigarettes and alcohol pretty much there. But if you want any kind of form of medicine or anything, you've got to go right to the fucking back.
It's impossible.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all designed, though. Pumping the smell of bread throughout the air conditioning and all that. It's all part of it.
Anybody that's got a Costco's card or has been to Costco's, that's one. That always gets me, because you walk in and it's the TVs. So I spend at least half an hour wandering around the TV section.
Some of those are about $7,000 or $8,000.
There's some beauties in there. Yeah.
And there are some big TVs in there. Yeah. I never get out of Costco for less than £50, even if I'm only going in for like water.
No.
Okay, by the time we've gone, well, it's only £5 for these croissants. Oh, it's only... So we get to the till, they go, yes, £59.85. You go, what? Only came in for water? But one thing that is good about Costco is the food court at the end. £1.50 for a hot dog and a refillable soda. Yes,
yeah,
please.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you had the chicken and bacon bake?
I love it. I was just going to say that. That, honestly, I'd make love to that thing. It's fucking...
It's like a calzone. It's a bit like a calzone.
Yeah, it is.
It's fucking brilliant. The thing is, you can't eat one without going, I don't need another one of those for a month.
No, for a month. Because my cholesterol is now sky high with that thing. And I tell you what else gets me. They always catch me out, the bastards. And it happened because I was doing this room. IKEA and their fucking meatballs.
Oh, I know. They're only 99. Or something,
that's that gravy. It's terrible. So that's the only way I'll go shopping, if I get fed.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, but those chicken and bacon things, I think they're $3.49.
What a surprise. What a surprise. We've come away from Greg's initial question about electrical goods in the middle through Aldi, and we're back onto food again.
Well, this happens. It's very good. Very
500
good.
Episodes of complete... I think I'm in two minds about this. One, I think I quite like the idea of doing something as mundane as doing the shopping, because let's face it, it's never particularly interesting, is it? And I, by the way, obviously there are many different types of shoppers, just for so people understand... I am the begrudging shopper. If I go in, I'm in and out very quickly. No messing around. If I am in there with my wife, it is like death by a thousand cuts, right? She will try and go forward, and I'm the one pushing the trolley, and I'm the one whose face basically shows that I have currently lost the will to live. Please do not talk to me. And my wife, who previously has shown very little turn of pace since she was about 25, suddenly turns it. She basically darts off through these little gaps of individual shoppers, which I, with trolley, have no chance of getting through. So loses me. And then I'm looking round with my lack of will to live, finally find her, kind of push back towards her. By the time I get there, she's gone off again. Honestly, what can you do? Anyway, I'm that kind of shopper.
I go shopping with Houdini. She's there 1 second, and I turn, and she's gone.
Houdini.
She's gone.
That's exactly what Lisa is. I think if you're listening to this, we need to put out on social media, this is the kind of thing that will get us into terrible trouble. What kind of shopper are you and what is your partner? Houdini, we need to come up with other profiles for this because we can't just let this have a life of its own. Oh, yes, we can. That'll be good. But I think as I'm pushing my way through this trolley, oh, shut up. And Ant's nearly here from Sunderland in a minute. He'll be expecting anything better than we're providing here. Ant's joining us for the Sunderland Opposition View, which will be opposite episode 499, and won't it feel it? But when I'm pushing my trolley with the lost will to live, if I suddenly came across, ooh, a hedge trimmer, that might be quite interesting. But on the other hand, when I do go in on my own and I want to get in and get out fast, some fucker has rearranged where everything is being put in the supermarket.
Yes.
They do that.
If you want the surprise of a hedge trimmer, you've got to start going to Lidl's. That's it. That's what you've got to do. You've got to go to Lidl's for the hedge trimmers. That's the thing.
Hedge trimmers, hair tongs, I don't care. I'll look at it and go, has it got a plug on the end? Yes. Oh, gadget. I'll be interested. That's like.
You need to get a Lidl then, Pete. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Now, I've got two, three sort of very important-ish questions before we move on to episode 499 and talk about Sunderland. Okay, so we're going to have to do this really quickly. FA Cup replays. Are you for or against the Premier League's decision not to have them from next season? It takes the magic of the FA Cup away from me and they should stay, says David Lavender. FA Cup replays. Now, I did see, I think it was the EFL put something out about, well, it's better for clubs because there'll be more revenue and there's more, you'll be on the TV more. When was that ever the passion and the whole point and the joy of the FA Cup? More money and being on telly. It's about knocking out bigger teams and seeing how far you can go. They've missed the point completely there. Peter, FA Cup replays. I know your thoughts on the FA. If you could have your swear button handy, that would be handy. FA Cup replays.
The FA in general are complete and as are FIFA. They're just as bad as those other bastards. Anyway, so yes. No, didn't you? Yeah, I agree. There are elements of the game of football which are just really good. Stop fucking about with them. The FA, people turn around and say, oh, the FA Cup, it's decreasingly important. Yes, of course it is. Ever since the FA asked Manchester United to go out to play in the World Club competition in about 91. Remember, nobody remembers that or whenever it was.
2000.
Whenever it was.
Yeah.
They tried to kill it stone dead. They've reduced the number it used to have in the, I appreciate it, I'm talking 70s and 80s here. You'd have endless replays that would go on, and they're still talked about now that might go
was
on.
Was it Newcastle? We played about three times in a week or something because of FA Cup replays.
Newcastle, and it was finally decided by Glenn Roeder scoring an own goal for Newcastle. So at the end of that very season, we went, that's the man for our defence. We like that very much. But don't worry.
Yes, it was.
Ant's there. We did beat Newcastle. That's why we signed him. But yeah, you had all of these sort of things. But also, if you are an away team, let's say you are the smaller team in the tie, getting a draw and bringing them back to your place where sometimes the pitch might be a great leveller.
Yeah,
they're arseholes. Its whole glamour and prestige is the fact that and Andrew French did a great article in the Watford Observer today, where, as he said, there's 700 clubs going to this competition because all the clubs in the land go in at the first qualifying stage, and there's even actually preliminary qualifying stages. You have to qualify to get to the qualifying rounds. 700 teams. And who are we accommodating it for? We're accommodating it for the basically got more money than anything. They sign up as many players as they want. They've got massive squads. And what? Because they can't make even yet more money from the Champions League.
Yeah.
And there's the bleep for that. I missed the bleep button. Hold on. Yeah, that's them.
There we go. I think just to round that off, VAR robbed Coventry. They robbed Coventry yesterday of a historic moment in their club's history, potentially. And all because they're pissing around with the game, trying to overcomplicate it and so forth. And in terms of the FA Cup, there's two things that I would change. Replays should always stay because it gives the team, like Peter said, gives the team an opportunity that you've got to go back to a fucking horrible pitch and a tight little grounds, and these big boys won't fancy that, and that's how upsets happen. And the other thing I would change, which really pisses me off, and it was yesterday, is Wembley for semi-finals. Get them back to neutral grounds. Yeah, just some of the best FA Cup semi-finals. Take away the Wolves one at Wembley, which was historic for us. Some of the best FA Cup games, the semi-finals at neutral grounds. We've got so many good grounds in this country now. We've got Ant from Sunderland, fucking great ground. Newcastle, all up there. Manchester, there's so many. I just they really need to go back to basics before it's too late, because they're about to destroy the best cup competition in the world. And it's as simple as that.
I mean, that particular semi-final on Sunday, the Coventry one, and our good friend Dave was absolutely gutted. Lovely at 3-0 down. He'd started slaughtering Mark Robbins online, and then everybody came back, went, oh, that's aged well, and he didn't care. But of course, 10 minutes later on, he was absolutely flaming about the injustice of it. But there's also the fact that, and I know I appreciate this is FIFA and the FA, the offside rule. And I appreciate some people will say, oh, but it is, it's offside. The rule used to be that you needed to see sunlight. It gave the advantage to the attacking players, right? So that basically if I was level with part of that player, I was on. If I'm leaning forward and the other player's leaning that way, I'm level, I'm on. No, in this case, his boot was half a centimetre further forward than the other bloke's shoulder or what have you. Utter nonsense. That is not what VAR was intended to do. VAR was not brought in order to basically make sure that we disallow goals on ridiculous levels of technicality and measurement. That wasn't the idea. The idea was that clear and obvious errors were overall, and suddenly that went for a ball of chalk. We are seeing less games decided through actual goals being scored because you are removing those goals. It's just ridiculous. It makes me very happy to be in the Championship if they leave VAR well alone.
We'll finish on this one. From Matthews67_Ben, what do you think the repercussions will be, if any, to Watford FC if Udinese get relegated? Now, I don't know enough about this. I don't know anything about this, really. I don't know how it would affect us. I suspect, Peter, you might know better than me. Do you know if there's any implications if Udinese get relegated?
Their last TV revenue, because let's face it, when you're looking at relegation, the big thing you've got to look at is, because they don't have a massive support, it's not like a huge difference there. They will have to basically be cutting their budget, although if you look at their squad, they've already been doing that. But in their last full season in Serie A, they earned something like 40 million in TV revenue. Now, that's 40 million euros. So that's about, what, 35 million quid. Now, that sounds like a large amount of money, because it is still a large amount of money, but it's nowhere close to the levels of the kind of the 90 to 120 millions that you get in the Premiership. This is one of the reasons why all of the European clubs are up in arms about how much the size of TV deals, etc. And also when we end up crying about Saudi money, etc., go, yeah, well, you only complain when it's not in your favour. It's been in your favour for many years. So how much of a difference would it make? Yes, it will have an impact, absolutely. But in some ways, we may actually be slightly more favoured, because still the revenues in the Championship is the sixth biggest commercial division. That actually puts us a little bit closer to them in terms of parity. It doesn't mean that there's much more money going around, but there ain't much to go around at this moment in time. If there is any one particular effect, it may be that actually it may push Gino or the Pozzo family, in terms of the ownership and the collective ownership, to look and consider selling it in order to consolidate around Udinese. It's not unreasonable to expect them to do that. It is their principal love, and absolutely the Pozzo family, it is their love. Gino has been here for a long time. Gino is not particularly popular because he is seen as favouring us. Even now, they see his lack of presence as being an issue, and he is still seen as a big part of Udinese. So actually, depending on your position on it, potentially some good could come out of it. I don't think the finances would be as biting as anything else. Plus the fact we have, as we've mentioned before, we have already very much cut our cloth, and it's a good thing that we have done this. I appreciate on the field, we all love to have, you know, expensive players running around, but on occasions you need to cut your cloth, start again, grow organically, use the academy, box clever, bring a combination of players through the academy and from the lower leagues and from, yeah, absolutely. I saw one somebody else all said almost exactly as I've said, and they also said, and from the Belgian and the Scandinavian leagues, bring it through from those leagues that are less glamorous and have less of a price tag attached. Belgium, we've been doing that for a few weeks.
We have a man that can certainly furnish us with a load of dross from the Belgian league. Right, that was episode number 500 of the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast. Here's to the next 50 at least anyway. Thank you very much for joining in, listening, being part of the podcast. It's all good fun. And if it wasn't fun, we wouldn't do it. Believe me, the hours you have to put into this, if it wasn't fun, you wouldn't do it. You just go, do you know what? I just can't be arsed with this. So thank you very much for listening. It's always lovely to have you along for the ride. We'll see you soon at the Sunderland game. Talking to Sunderland, we're going to speak to Ant very shortly. See you at the Sunderland game. We'll let you know we're going to be before the game.
I'll see you next season.
Of course, you're going away, aren't you? Yeah, you're going away.
I'll see you all next season. Thank you very much. Miss you all already. See you in another place, another time. There you go.
Sounds a bit final, Carl.
Doesn't
sounds
it, actually? Am I resigning? I'm not resigning, am I? I've been fired. Is that my replacement?
Yeah, you're going to have Ant on instead. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We need to get to Ant. Can I just add a few thank yous? And I appreciate I'm Johnny come lately, coming in about episode number 50. So I've still got to bust my chops on this stuff. But can I just say a massive thank you to everybody who is connected with the podcast, because it isn't just us three in any way, shape or form. The thing that these two idiots wanted to make sure was happening was, as a podcast, could we democratize it? Could we get as much fan voices and fan involvement as we possibly could? So to try and do something different, anybody who has assisted and helped, you know who you guys are. Thank you so much. A huge thanks to the Patreons. There's various bits of editing software that basically stop me having imminent divorce every weekend after a Twitter Spaces. And with the amount of stuff that we put out, exactly as Justin said, if we didn't enjoy it, we wouldn't do it. So it's, you know, if we appreciate we're Marmite. For those people who don't like us, please don't listen. For those of us who do, thank you so much for being on board with the stuff and the stupidness. We have got people like John. We have got people like Ben and Jarvis, which we'll get to in a minute, just basically compounding the idiocy. We support a football club. It's not always fun, but actually, this has always been fun, and long may it continue. And thank you very much for everybody who listens, who lurks, who participates on the Twitter Spaces, who puts through the questions. So many people, many who I have not mentioned here. It is so appreciated. Thank you.
Guys, right, let's say goodbye. Thank you very much for listening. We'll catch up with you soon. You ons.
You ons.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.